Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I like sucking,
but I ain't gay.
Legit bad podcast.
Fuck those honkies.
Kick ass.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
He really knows how to suck a wiener.
Welcome back to Legit Bat. We have Mitch the Orgone Donor. Is it Orgon or Orgone?
You say both of them right. I'd say Orgone. Yeah. Long O sound. So just so people don't say organ on accident. Yeah. You know? So
Mitch the Organ Donor?
That's actually what
yeah, right.
He's like, is that a typo for like an organ donor? I'm like, No, it's not.
No, it actually is. It is. It's not a typo for it, but it's like be an Orgone Donor. You know, put Orgonite right. out there, that kind of thing.
Play on words. It was the first thing because he didn't spell it. He spelled it half right, and he spelled it O-R-G-O-N. And so I was like, "Well, wait a second. Is this like orgone? Isn't like organite like the really sensitive material, which I have like an orgonite pyramid? I'm like, is it that, or was it a typo for organ donor?" And he's like, "Actually, neither. It is for." O-R-G-O-N-E. And I'm all...
Yeah, I actually did misspell it on the calendar, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm just walking around. I've only got one kidney, one lung, half a heart. So, yeah.
That's all you need. Be good.
If you're donating that much, I would also say that you have half a brain.
Yeah, you'd have to. So I've been watching a lot of Dr. House lately, so I'm like way tardy to that party, but... Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, Orgone. Yeah.
Well, so start by explaining, exactly what that is to you in your words, and then we can go on, you know, with what you do with Orgone from there. So,
yeah. Well, so I know by now it's kind of become, if not, it is becoming a household term that gets used a lot. People will know of the terms life force energy, or they call it chi or prana. I would call it like the God spark. I think there is this energy that I call it the God spark that like coerces through all of us. It's a whole other can of worms with the whole NPC concept everyone's talking about. But I think there's like the natural realm, and that's what this life energy coerces through. And it is everything. It passes through everything. It is our essence. And then there's the artificial world that is operating on the inversion of it, essentially. Mm-hmm. But Orgone, the reason it's called Orgone in this case, like I said, is chi or prana, tachyon. Every culture has, you know, their name for it. The term that I use with Orgone, it comes from Wilhelm Reich. A lot of people have heard of his name. He's sort of thrown around in the same way that Tesla is. And the reason behind it in the simplest form is that the life energy is based on sexual energy. So it comes from it's the root word for orgasm, and that this sexual energy, which I align with this concept of, because people are always like, oh, that's pervy. And I'm like, no, it's the idea. If you think about what it takes to create life, you obviously need a spark. And so I forgot. I need to like be on the lookout for those, or be on the sound out for those. But so yeah, this energy, It really, it's the same thing you'll hear from other people when they're saying, when they refer to chi or prana. And so, what I have come to learn in the work that I do, anyone who finds my website or researches this, you know, why do I call myself the orgone donor? The reason is because there are, what I would call them weapons in the simplest form. I would say that there are energetic weapons that are utilized throughout this realm in which we live that inhibit and alter and manipulate the life energy that's coercing and basically running the show, the life energy. And there is this sort of anti-life agenda to throw off nature, to throw everything out of balance. So I call myself the organ donor because I use tools that are called organite, which people are familiar with. I use those tools against the, you know, quote unquote weapon system that is used to create this havoc and to, you know, harm or intentionally manipulate life. So I call myself the donor because it all comes out of my pocket, like a lot of people. And that term carries over from the term organite gifting that a lot of people, if you ever hear the term gifting, the reason we say organite gifting, what that means is you are essentially putting organite around whatever these devices are. And in this case, frequency weapons, cell towers, the heart network, any kind of an artificial EMF emitting device. You put this stuff around those devices, this organite around the towers, and you can flip these signals. You can change this energy signature. You can essentially bust the tower. We call it tower busting or organite gifting because it's a gift from you in the process of, you know, shaking things up and sort of restoring the natural flow of that energy that's coercing through everything.
So I was texting Ben earlier and I said it kind of reminds me of the same thing as the ether, or that is that the same type of thing, prana?
You know, I should disclaimer, like, you know, I don't know everything, and the more I learn, the less I know. I think for myself, I look at everything as a jigsaw puzzle, and when it comes to the terminology of like the ether, I used to think the term orgone or life force was synonymous with ether, but I actually think that ether is the playground or the network in which the energy travels. I think that would be a better descriptor for it. Kind of like the EMF bubble is, you know, it's not as simple as just creating a harp network. I call it the frequency fence, because it is essentially creating the pathway, or I call it the highway to hell. It is creating the mode of transportation for negative energy to flow. And, you know, people will, there's always skeptics, and people are going to come at me and say, you know, well, how, regarding like, say, electricity, dirty electricity, how do you know that's bad? Or how do you know the EMF, like that it's traveling along? Well, it's like by deductive reasoning and putting together this immense jigsaw puzzle, we see that there's two components, or really more than two components, to what's being carried along, the information carried along within this network. So like a cell tower isn't a communication. It's not just a communication tower. There's a militaristic side to that. You know, in the case of electricity, you know, we know about electrical burn-off. We know what happens to people who live under power lines. Essentially, if you look at like radiation, any type of radioactive material. Now, I'm slowly learning and working, like researching Wilhelm Reich. He did some things with radioactive material that don't match up to radioactive radiation that comes off of, say, a cell tower. There are two different kinds, or there's more than one kind. Some is good and some is not proven to be bad. That's as far as I can say with that. I don't know that it's necessarily good, but basically it's like, We're working with these bubbles, energy bubbles, and it's this like ongoing, you know, you hear people talk about we're in a spiritual war. I think that's simplifying it, but essentially everything has an energy signature. Everything emits, transmits, and receives energy signatures. And there are things, you know, in the natural flow of everything, everything flows. It's implied. It flows naturally. So when you throw out an energy signature to put that in chaos, then what happens? Everything spirals out of control. So you create these energy signatures and burn off from dirty electricity or from nuclear radiation, power plants, or, you know, even down to like the genetically modified crops. There's a different energy signature coming off of genetically modified crops. And so by putting together these puzzle pieces, we can see, you know, obviously there's something wrong, and we can see that, you know, like I have a lot of people ask me about the towers and they think it ends there. And I've, you know, you guys are on the course of all the interviews I've ever done. If we had this conversation 5 years ago, I'd say, oh, put this stuff around towers, put Organite around towers, bust the towers, change the weather, call it a day. But now there's so many more things that actually are happening alongside the process of busting these towers. And in learning about with cross-referencing with Wilhelm Reich and learning about weather, it's like everything is an energetic process. Us waking up is an energetic process. The foods we eat, the water, everyone knows about Masaru Emoto. That's a puzzle piece in this too. Structuring water. It's like, look around the world and you can just see it everywhere. There's an intentional effort to throw every single thing possible out of alignment, to basically overlay an artificial realm, I'd say artificial intelligence or artificial consciousness, to overlay the natural realm in which we thrive. So instead of thriving, we are, you know, subjected to barely surviving at the hands of something that thinks it's God, if that helps.
Yeah. So get into the tower busting thing, because we were kind of talking about that earlier. Is it something that's, are you blocking the signals, or is it just changing it? How does that work? Because we have your visual aids here for us for the audience.
Good. I'm glad you guys got
your house.
Yeah. Sure. I'm actually curious about that too. Are you trying to, at the end of the day, in addition to Joe's question, sorry, but are you trying to just block cell signals altogether?
So the answer for a very common question, does this block EMF? And the answer is no, it doesn't. And, you know, if you look around at everything that emits EMF, EMF in and of itself is not what's bad, but there are forms that are non-native and there are forms that are incoherent with biological life. And so if you put Organite around a tower, or let's say you put it around your Wi-Fi router, well, I can attest the internet would have gone down a long time ago in the state of Arizona because of the thousands of earth pipes I've buried in the ground and the towers I've been driving around the state for 4 years now. So it doesn't block it. And again, if we had this conversation 5 years ago, I'd say, oh, well, what it's doing is, because this is a general consensus of the last two decades of like the pioneer gifting movement and all the people who started doing this, that it's always been assumed that what it's doing is it is just simply changing an energy signature and flipping the tower. So you'll hear people talking about that once you put this around a tower, or if you were to bury the pipes around a tower, then the energy signature is going through that Organite piece and it's spitting out a restructured signal. And it's one of those things that's kind of like, oh, well, then show me the receipts. And so the theory behind it, it's like we're putting together a coincidence salad and trying to figure out like if this is actually the process. I don't fully understand these days because of everything else I've learned. I can't say with certainty that it's just taking in the signal and spitting it out. But if you sort of like reverse the way you'd reverse engineer something, just like compare it with Wilhelm Reich's work when he created an orgone accumulator box. For those that don't know, it was a giant box, kind of like a little refrigerator. A person would sit inside on a chair in the box, and the box was designed in a way using certain materials that were organic or inorganic, which will either attract or repel this energy based on their structure. So you would put people inside of the box, and this energy would be harnessed as it was being pushed and pulled and concentrated to the center of the box. And the idea behind that was someone who he worked a lot with folks who had cancer and infertility, which is two of those coinky dinks. It's like, well, cancer kills all life. It mutates. It's like a mutated form of natural life. And fertility is obviously connected to the creation of life. So two ailments pertaining to life or life force that he could put a person's body back in alignment. for FDA purposes, you know, nobody is going to use the word, the C word, you know, that he C-U-R-E'd, but he healed basically. So fast forward to Organite, we're making Organite out of similar materials of inorganic and organic material that will either attract or repel this energy signature. And if you look around like at yourselves and counterpart, look at anyone who's been jibby jabbed, they're pumping metals and, you know, God knows what else. But one of the things they're doing is pumping metals through various methods, whether it's food, water, air, shots, into an organic compound, into an organic element, us. And there is, you know, it's the idea of like turning someone into a receiver or a transmitter. I'm sure you guys have talked to enough people where people are wondering, you know, what is, you've seen the Bluetooth signals coming off of people or whatever other stupid, you know, magnets stick into people's arms. I'm not saying that answers everything, but it's the idea of, oh, what are they doing to change either the energy that's like being attracted to or repelled from us? And so in Organite, it's the same concept that these materials, the organic one, we use resin, which is derived from oil, which has one of the strongest energy, organic energy signatures on Earth. Personal belief system of, you know, for me, I think that's why it is attached to the money system. I think that the reason we have the petrodollar is because of the occult symbolism and the esoteric component to oil and what, you know, it's the blood of the planet. Unless you think it comes from dinosaurs and you're an idiot. But that's my two cents on that. But it is the blood of the planet and like a microbe that breaks down, sort of like kombucha. And the inorganic component to the Organite is the metal. Well, in order to have a layering effect with this in the same way an accumulator box would, you would obviously want to have these multi-layers of your resin and your metal, resin and metal. So the way to do that is you use very small metal pieces. So when you see Organite, you're going to see a lot of people use metal shavings. The pieces that you guys have there, I think you have some of those black pucks. Okay, so those have black metal. They have magnetite metal powder, shungite, and then they also have aluminum shavings. And so I try to use shavings and powder because the idea is if you've got metal shavings in it, think of every molecule of resin that has coated every one of those pieces of metal. And you've got, so that's your layer right there. And you've got thousands of layers between all those shavings. Then you start adding metals and you're basically increasing the surface area of each fleck of metal. And you've got, you know, millions of layers with that powder. So the theory behind Organite is that it is attracting this energy, but at the same time trying to spit it back out. So it's almost like I've heard people refer to it as like a scrubber brush. If you throw it around a tower, then the toroidal field around that tower has to pass through it. So it goes in, it gets transmuted, and it gets spit out. But in the case of Organite, there is a component of using quartz crystals, and that's where there's a lot of debate on that, because when Organite, I mean, it's been around since like, I know for sure around the early 2000s, there's an argument over who has a trademark, because the trademark was granted by the government to I call him an asshole, but several years after other people, like it was already a common household name for a large demographic who were using it around towers, and they knew it had an impact on these towers that were popping up in the early 2000s. And so the quartz crystal, some people have debated whether or not it's actually needed. I'm sure you guys have probably interviewed enough people that the subject comes up about crystals and crystallography, like the science behind it, using it as a microchip, using it to program crystals to do different things. In Organite, there's this idea, I don't hear people talking about it as much these days, but they say that like with the resin, it shrinks. Those pucks there, they all compressed. They all got very, very hot and then they compressed. So you have this perpetual compression on the crystal, which applies to the piezoelectric effect of that crystal. If you squeeze a crystal, it will emit an electrical charge, or really they call it scalar energy or the piezoelectric effect. They actually have the same effect if you heat them up as well. The thing with Organite that I have not been able to figure out is like if you ever make a bunch of organite, say on a chemtrail day, you're going to notice things in the sky above your house. Like that's the best way for people to have this like confirmation that there is a there and to keep going with it. And I think what's happening is that as your organite is sitting in these pans or whatever your molds you're using, gets very, very hot and the crystals start reacting immediately. And they're throwing off whatever EMF bubble is down here on the ground. And if imagine like you just start shaking up that EMF bubble, well, it needs that bubble to sustain whatever. I mean, these electromagnetic fields are sustaining the shit that's going on in the sky. That's the connection that's so far been made. From there, everyone's got their theories about whether, like, what's really going on in the sky, because for the longest time, it was just always aluminum, barium, strontium, done. And now that we know, if you go put stuff around all the, like, I don't know how many towers you have where you guys are. I know you're kind of more remote, but if you were to go knock out like 20 of the closest towers or high EMF sources around your house, you're going to see chemtrails behaving a lot differently above your house. And an example of that people can see on my website, at the top of the page, there all the tabs, there's a geoengineering tab and there's a dropdown. And that dropdown, I think, has a selection that says best of chemtrails. They're just some of the first videos I took after I started busting towers and putting up like chem busters, these cloud buster devices. The chemtrails, they don't plume out. They don't turn into what looks like smoke. They seize and they snap apart. And you can actually see what looks like a waveform. It's like you can see the energy battle going on in the sky. You can see something trying to basically shred them apart. And they look more like spaghetti noodles or DNA helixes, and they just sort of spin and they break. And it's like, it doesn't answer the question yet of what exactly is making what, like do what, but by like, something. What's that?
I said, but it's something.
It's something. Yeah. And I mean, again, it's like, I'm getting to the point with, you know, because it's getting really confusing. Everyone I know, like, I'm kind of in a crossroads right now where I'm seeing all the people I've ever been affiliated with, or people I've listened to, people I've learned from. Like, I'll listen to anybody. I'll even listen to people talk about Q for whatever reasons, just because I want to know what's out there. I have my opinions about, no, I don't believe it, but I always want to know the puzzle pieces of what's going on in this reality. And so when I see those things going on in the sky, I have to take a step back when it comes to geoengineering and ask myself, is, you know, what kind of aluminum, barium, and strontium dust particles, nano, whatever, that comes out of a plane behaves like that in the sky? What would make it behave like that? And then it's kind of like, well, wait a minute, what if this isn't what I'm told on paper? Because I've read all the research about, I mean, we've all read the research about the projects here. And I've heard you guys, even just the other day, an episode of yours I was watching, I think you mentioned Project Popeye or Operation Popeye. You know, we know they can control, or really I should say manufacture, hurricanes. And we know right now that as the climate agenda, I mean, just look at the climate agenda. I see restoration going on all over the country. And of course, what do? They're saying these people over here have an atmospheric river. These people here have a bomb cyclone. These people over here are going to have winter tornadoes. And these people down in Florida, here's another hurricane coming through, coincidence. And so, you know, call Greta. But I think that the stuff we're allowed to see is part of the deception. And in the work I've done and work, like if you read Wilhelm Reich's work, you know, the part that gets ignored in what I call the academic side, the academia of orgonomy, they don't like to talk about the off-world stuff that he talked about. They don't like to talk about his, basically he believed, you know, his quote, something has invaded our earthly existence. And for anyone that follows my work, I use the word parasites a lot to describe the, like, if I see a chemtrail plane, it's like, oh, the parasites are out today. If they're gone for the holidays, it's like the parasites have the day off. But there is something connected to our life force. There's something connected to our energy. And that's, it opens up this big can of worms that says, man, this, there might be something being sprayed in the sky, but it doesn't line up with what happens when you start using tools like this. I'm gonna shut up now.
No, it's fine. You give everybody a lot to think about. It's just I love what you said about the jigsaw puzzle, because I literally just mentioned something like that the other day, where that's why I'll listen to all kinds of crazy shit, whether I believe it or not. You might as well listen to why somebody came to this conclusion and then put that in the back pocket. And then maybe later that'll pop back up and you'll be like, ah, that actually fits here. That makes sense for this area. He wasn't totally right, but this area fit. So we'll start with the copper rod here.
Earth pipe.
Earth pipes. So what is actually in there? I know they're made of copper, but what else is in there? Is it the resin with the metal shavings and all that?
Yeah, so the basic recipe would be your resin and your metal, and the earth pipes, those are, in my experience, I have found those to be the best tool, because they tap into whatever these towers are tapping into in the ground. Part of the puzzle figuring out those pieces is, if you look at tower placement, there's no coincidence that they put towers on water sources. I have a personal belief, I can't prove this undeniably, but it's I think if there's ever a water shortage, which would be staged, but if there ever is a water shortage, people should go to their local cell tower and start digging, because these sadistic bastards know exactly what they're doing, and water is a fantastic energy conductor, and the earth should have been called water, not earth, because there is more of it than earth. But the pipes, the reason I think that they're the best is because they are tapping into that same network. And anyone that follows me will learn quickly that my approach to everything with being in this realm is kill it with fire, or go big or go home. So when I moved to Arizona, I had the intention of obliterating as many towers as I could, because I had come across, in some of Reich's work, he talks about how deserts are not natural. So it was like this sort of developed into what I call my Earth Pipes Across Arizona project, where I have literally buried earth pipes all across Arizona. And those locations, things we look for, like earth ley lines, I learned about railroad tracks, that it's, what a coincidence that how many railroad tracks actually weren't built by us but were discovered by us, and they coincidentally all run along water, and they coincidentally all run along ley lines, and they coincidentally have all kinds of federal laws about following them. And so, like, cross-referencing this with information about ley lines, there's a lot of experiences people have had that if you congregate a large group around these railroad tracks or around these ley lines, you can actually manifest things in a much quicker way by carrying the energy signature that's running through those lines. So when I hear stuff like that, I'm like constantly out there like, oh, this place is, I just say demonic, oh, this place is demonic, got to go neutralize it, or, oh, they put this tower up over here, why do they put nuclear power, of all the places they could put it? They put them all, like Fukushima, right on water. There's a reason for it, because the water is connected to everything, and it is the best energy conductor aside from maybe gold. And so it's like we go and we tap these things into those things, and that's when you'll start to see really fast results. I tell people, if you live on water around a pond, a river, lake, stream, whatever, those are perfect places to be burying those pipes. And they're packed with metal powder. They've got large quartz points running down the center. The theory behind them, when they were first created, if you want to research people who use this stuff back in the day, I think that's part of this puzzle as well. Look for the names Dawn and Carol Croft, Croft. They are the pioneers of the gifting movement, even though there's not really a movement. But they have talked about these pipes being used to basically neutralize what they just say underground military base. I think it's bigger than that. I think, airports, for example. I did a lot of gifting around Midway and O'Hare, legally. So no one can say what you want, you bury these things around areas that have basically been like energetically compromised or energetically bastardized. And it's sort of like you're reverse, in the same way, like I've learned more about geoengineering by busting towers than by reading government patents and trying to figure out what the ultimate goal is as well, because it's not just trying to poison us from the sky. It's about our consciousness. It dumbs us down. It keeps
same with the fluoride and the plastics and everything else that they have going on. It's all tied together. Like, there have been so many studies that they're talking about it. Obviously, we all know that the way they get things in is, you know, you slow boil a frog. You don't toss it into boiling water. It'll just jump the fuck out. Mm-hmm. And by the time that you slow boil it, it's too fucking late. It doesn't know that it's dying. It's the same thing. They put a little bit of fluoride here, a little bit of plastic here that they introduce. Oh, you know, it's not harmful to you in small doses. And then by the time that you get 70 years down the road, all of these little tiny avenues, whether it be cloud seeding or you were talking about the natural disasters, for us, it's a massive uptick in the past 5 to 10 years of wildfires, including fire tornadoes, which I didn't know was a thing until it happened. And they create their own climate out of it.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off there, but I didn't want to interject. I also wanted to let you know, don't fucking apologize for talking too much. I have literally been looking up like every single thing that you have been talking about, because I'm like, oh, that's interesting. All right. So by all means, go ahead.
All right.
That was super interesting. I actually want to do this stuff too. So at the end, I want you to tell us how we can do this here where
we're sure. You guys are also I pay attention to where everybody lives, and there are I kind of wanna I wanted to make sure that I could, because 2023 has started just really I haven't had really good feelings since January 1st, just because of certain things I've seen with the weather.
Would that have been to do with the solar flares? Did you look into that at all? Apparently, so there were massive solar flares.
Yes. Well, that's part of it. And actually, for people, you know, it's always a challenge. People have this thing I call show me the receipt syndrome, and I understand why they have it. It's always funny that they'll get on board with other things and we just hear something and we run with it. Like, we never really fact check the things we really like and agree with anyway. Like, that person died mysteriously. The government must have murdered him. And therefore, or this person got kicked off Instagram, so therefore they must be trustworthy. And it's like, no, they're doing that now where they kick off. I won't say names in case anyone likes them, but they'll kick off somebody just because they know it will solidify the idea that, oh, they must be telling the truth. They have to have Q, for example.
I love this so much because they have divided this truth community or whatever people want to call it. They just let us go and run because they're like, oh, look at them. They'll believe what they want to believe.
So successfully split us apart.
For sure. And I
have the same as the other side. And the same as who trust the vax have the same mentality as they hate it.
I think that's how we ended up with this idea. The biggest division I see right now is everyone either thinking it's a playground or it's a prison. From the people that have become aware, slightly more woken up, it's people are fighting now over if it's a playground to learn or if it's a prison to get out of, and it's imploding. I'm gonna take a pause here. Just loop me back in about the solar flares when the time comes. What were you saying, Ben?
Oh, no, I was just going to say on what you guys were talking about, it's just controlled opposition using reverse psychology. They had controlled opposition, which was overt and blatant, and now they're using that same tactic, but doing the opposite thing so that you trust it. It's like having Alex Jones come out and, you know, rant about something, and everybody who hears it directly goes, oh, that's the truth. And then they shadow ban him or ban him outright. And then the other people that were on the fence about whether he was right was like, well, he got shadow banned, so he must be saying something that's true that they don't like. And now they just pulled in a bunch of other people. The whole thing is just, I hate this saying, but the idea that everything is a psyop, I don't believe that.
But it do be like that sometimes.
Well, that's the thing, is that you don't know which ones are. And there's a old saying that my parents always used to say, yay, Christianity, was idle hands are the devil's workshop. And it's exactly that. They used to say that if you aren't seeing resistance from the devil, it means that he has you exactly where he wants you, doing nothing. And they have been able to successfully psyop the shit out of all of us to where it's not about whether we pick a side, it's about not picking a side. because as long as we don't pick a side, we aren't a threat. Uh-huh. And as much as people that aren't picking a side, fuck the two-party system, which I agree with, that is in and of itself now a side. And yeah, they have successfully gotten a large portion of the population into the, I don't know what the fuck the truth is. I'm not going to trust anything. I'm going to question everything, which is awesome. But the problem is that that is a quest for the truth. And they know that we're not typically going to find it. So as long as we're walking around with our heads up our asses, they've won already. Like, you, if you can't identify the truth, then there's nothing left to do.
Dude, yeah. A beautiful example of that, of the I'm going to be in the middle and not do what anybody else is doing, is like the hipster thing where everybody was like, I'm not going to have anybody's style. I'm going to dress like I'm from the 1930s and, you know, sit at Starbucks and write my screenplay and listen to Mumford and Sons. And that became its own fucking thing in itself. And it's all in Portland from what I can tell right now. It's all in Portland.
There's a lot of it in Chicago too. I'm sure he knows.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But that is the same idea, yeah, where you have this anti kind of a subculture, you know, anti-mainstream movement that becomes its own thing in itself. And that's just and another mainstream category now. So now we have another category of fucking hipsters.
This is where I'll reel it back to my purview. Sometimes people just tell me, like, stick to your script, Mitch. But the weather.
Not here.
Don't say that shit.
It's interesting that the reason I got into the Organite was because I started learning about money, which led into the energetic component of it. Why is it called currency? Learning about maritime law, learning about how all of the decisions of, like, whenever I hear people say, like, something like, oh, they're doing it for the money. Like, for example, right now, the thing with the IRS, I think they're like, oh, the IRS wants to audit and steal more money. I'm like, they don't.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Don't care about getting more money. They just care about destroying you. That's all. Like,
and the control.
And the control aspect of it. And it's to beat people down. It's like, they don't need money. They own the machine that makes the money. They're owned by the people that invented and created and have always had a hold of the money. Like, there's no such thing as they need more money. They will, whether that's, in my view, that's like all the way down to like the Hollywood crap. When a movie flops, they're like, oh, they're losing money. I'm like, they don't give a fuck.
Nope.
But no. It's this idea that there's the energy behind it. And so, like, in the case of the weather right now, you know, I've done this now for, I'm going on 7 years of busting towers. And a lot of it began in Chicago, which was just an EMF soup. And so it was very easy to do. And also just stupid people. Like, don't just think of it as like EMF. Think of it as like the brain fog web. It's like a shadow. Because if you start, I don't know what Organite anybody has. I don't want to discredit it. But if you get some really good stuff, and you start, like, one of the first comments everybody always emails me about is like sleep patterns. Or, you know, yesterday I had a conversation with a couple on another show. We were talking about how behaviors of those around you when you're carrying this stuff, things that had changed, and just observations that you make, and how animals respond to you. I mean, I would tell crazy cat people to put the Organite around the cat. Cats, for some reason, love Organite. I don't know why, but they seem to be
they're fucking evil.
Well, I mean, I kind of like
go get on it,
but they tweak. I mean, everyone has the cats that tweak out, and you wonder, like, what in the hell is going on? It's like, well, they've got a sensory. Or they've got a sense that we obviously are not in tune with. And there's something about these signatures. In the case of the weather and what's going on right now, that, like, over all these years, I have talked to so many people that either I've educated, shown how to make this stuff. I've you know, I don't rile people up for like gifting parties. You know, it's something you do yourself. You're never going to find a gifting movement. And I would say, if you ever find someone who wants to organize a gifting movement, run as fast as you can the other way, because this is the only thing I've ever found in my life that it hasn't been co-opted yet, because there's nothing to infiltrate as long as there's no movement. And I've talked to Buffalo and Legs about this on False Reality Check. We did an episode on gatekeeping and deception back in, I think, May, maybe it was back in May. We talked about how I've slowly seen it creeping up in geoengineering and Orgone and Wilhelm Reich and the tower component. And I see where they're trying. And right now, when I said I'm nervous, I'm kind of nervous about what's transpired since the 1st of January, I'm seeing some kind of an attempt. You know, I've had things happen to me, and anyone you talk to with who does gifting, everyone's got their weird stories. Everyone has their visits from what we call Mr. Smith in the Matrix, because you're screwing up the web. So he's coming out to see what that is. You probably have heard of the black helicopters. There's all kinds of, I mean, build a chem buster. I've got instructions on my website to do it. Where you guys are, build a chem buster. I'll help you figure it out. And then watch the choppers and watch the activity in the sky around your house. And it's nothing to worry about. It's that you're screwing up something with AI. And, you know, I think like with the solar flares that we were talking about, something I've noticed, a puzzle piece with doing this, is that, you know, I'm running around my little Orgonite compound here. I've got three of those chem busters in my yard. Those are, for those that don't know, those are basically a 6-foot tall piece of Orgonite. It's a giant bucket, and it's got 6 copper pipes that are positioned aiming up at the sky. I call them sky cleaners or etheric bazookas. And I've got some, I'm out there every day moving them around towards different storm systems that pass through, helping to generate storms. There's ways that you can use them, kind of like how Wilhelm Reich used his cloud buster. And then I've got some sitting on a rotate, like these platforms that automatically rotate to basically just keep shit, just stirring the soup all day long, so that the plane activity can never fully take hold. And over the last 4 years, it's only gotten wetter and wetter. And we've just had the two wettest monsoon seasons in a row on record. It doesn't rain in October, November, December. It has rained heavily all throughout, including just the other day. It rained for 30 hours solid. It's wet everywhere. We never had wildfires. We're the only state that didn't have an issue with wildfires 2 summers in a row. And one of the fires they tried to talk about didn't exist, which was a whole other can of worms too. If you ever look up the I think they called it the tunnel fire near Flagstaff, but it's like they try to set fire on shit and it won't burn because everything is soaked. And it's like we've had a second spring 2 years in a row instead of having a fall. And so it's like, I guess I got on a tangent and got kind of heated there, but I lost my train of thought. But in the case of the weather, I think I'm back. In the case of the weather, what I've learned is that when you shake up this stuff, like lately, have you guys noticed the sun in direct sunlight, kind of intense, kind of hot? Have you noticed this?
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people talk about that too, how the sun went from kind of a golden yellow to more of a white.
Yeah. There's
differing opinions on what that means. Some people think it's a fake sun, or, you know, simulated sun. Some people think it's a sign of a coming like dimensional shift or something like that. I don't really know what to make, but here in where we live, the sun is always fucking hot. Like if the sun's out, you can feel it on your skin because it's Northern California.
Just so you know, we are in one of the top 5 sunniest places when talking about rotation of 24-hour days at any given point throughout the year. And our temperatures during the shift seasons of spring and fall can easily go within 60 degrees in a 24-hour period. It's not at all uncommon. It fucks with my head. You can hear it right now. But it's very sunny the majority of the time.
So what I've noticed, I have a few videos on my website showing, everyone thinks that like chemtrails are the white stuff in the sky, but the EMF bubble, it actually manufactures this thing we call deadly orgone radiation. DOR. That's a term that came from Reich. It's essentially, it looks like it's electrosmog. It has that ugly white, it's just the ugly white shit in the sky that's not really the chemtrails, but you can, that like, haze. If you ever, it's the haze, or sometimes you see the indentations, it kind of looks like you can see like grill marks in it, like a
weird wavy clouds.
We've seen
clouds.
That. So this summer, all summer long, so starting January of last year, 2022, beginning of January, it stopped raining completely. It usually rains all the way through April or May, and it was spring. It was 70 degrees all the way from January to basically November of this, like this past November, the end of the year. We had no rain, no winter, no spring. It was just all kind of like spring, summer, whatever. So the chemtrails or whatever we saw in the sky were super interesting because you could see a frequency pattern in the clouds. It looked like little waves on top of waves on top of waves. And it looked like a ripple in the water. I guess if you drop a rock in the water and you can see that ripple effect, that's what the clouds looked like. And then for like June through August, when it's typically very hot here, every single morning, I have pictures of this. I took a picture of the sun every morning. There was a haze just around the sun of clouds. And it was very specific. It was not. It was not like part of clouds. Is this bad? Is this like weird?
No, I'm. Please keep going. Please, yeah. Okay. Tell me more about your sun. Tell me about your sunrise and your sunset. Would you? Do you notice anything with your sunset too?
So the sunset was the same way, but the sunset, it was just very. What? What are you? What's going on?
I went into
No, she's singing to herself the song Sunset. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so where we live, it's very flat. There's not a lot of trees. You can see everything. So we can see the sunrise, and the sunset isn't as easy to see. The sunrise is a lot easier. But it was very specific, like a section where, just say the sun was like this big. For visuals, sorry, audio people. Sun is like this. The haze around it was like that. And it was kind of crisscrossed, and you could sometimes see lines straight up going through it that would eventually expand out. And then sunset was typically the same way, but throughout the day, the sun was blocked the whole time. It was just a little bit different when it was higher in the sky, but go ahead.
I would love for people to, I'm at some point over the next 6 months, I'm going to do a contest. I haven't figured out how I want to do it yet. And it's going to basically be like the win. I don't know if the winner will be the shittiest sunset or the shittiest consistent. Basically what I'm getting at is if you look at the sky, people don't realize how often the sun is obstructed. But the worst thing about it is if you time-lapse the sky, you can see what a lot of people think it's clouds, or they call it, the meteorologists will call it cloud cover. That's a crap that comes from NOAA. It is that electrosmog, and you don't need chemtrails to do it. What I have found consistently is that I think of chemtrails sort of as drawing an extension cord from one patch of crap in the sky to another patch of crap in the sky. And where I am, I'm in the village just outside of Sedona. I'm in a valley. I'm in the mountains, but it's like our area is really a valley, the Verde Valley. And the mountaintops over towards Flagstaff and the very opposite direction towards Cottonwood are like, you can see those patterns in the sky where they're almost creating, like, it's like they're drawing each other near to create a giant
together kind of.
Exactly, like, to create a canopy, and they create this big white canopy over the sky. But if you time lapse the sky, you can see that stuff sort of just it manifests out of nothing. And it's what I think it is it's essentially the electrosmog. It's the ionized sky, and it is attracting whatever pollutants to it. It is attracting the water molecules to it. I've taken time lapse of the sun showing that as the sun moves, that strategically placed crap that, like, let's say it's a really positive day. I think there's only enough energy for them to really just cover that one spot. It will move along the goddamn sun all fucking day. Yes, pardon my French.
100%.
Nope. And the rest of the sky is crystal clear. It's blue as the eye can see. And you're like, well, that's interesting. But when you look at the sunrise and the sunset, and I'm noticing this is part of that. I'm concerned with what's going on this year so far. Look at your sunrise and your sunset, they are always obstructed. And it used to not be like when I was in Chicago, it was difficult because of the buildings in my neighborhood. It was harder to see. But here I have a fantastic view of the sunrise and the sunset. And it's like, it's like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. It's like, you can see all of a sudden you're like, I mean, I'm a night owl. It's like, oh, how interesting. It's crystal clear. The stars are beautiful. Everything's great. Off in the distance where the sun will come up in an hour, it's already, you can just see the shit and it's just slowly moving like this, and it will position itself there and it will stay there until, you know, maybe around 9 o'clock in the morning. Then all of a sudden it's just gone, just disappears. And it's like, well, if you dive into the subject, this is one of those puzzle pieces, the whole sun gazing at certain hours, if it is in fact beneficial. Yeah. They are blocking it. I think also there's probably something that we would probably see in the sky based on how the light is bent or bending. I think we would see more easily if something was in fact a projection or a holographic image, whether it's real or fake. I don't know if we'd see spaceships in the sky. I mean, I don't know anymore, but I just know that consistency wise, sunrise and sunset, you can have the clearest damn day in the world and it's sunrise and sunset. And I almost feel like putting out the challenge. I'm not going to do it yet, but it would be the something in my contest ideas, like maybe like someone who could capture an unobstructed sunrise and sunset for like more than 2 days in a row, because occasionally one will slip through. And the way you can test this, if you guys ever get around, if you have like, say, a chembuster, the big bazooka, I've been playing around with those. Like, you aim them strategically at those big obstructions and you can pop holes right through them. But the weird thing about like when I first was like, oh my God, these aren't real clouds, was when I started popping holes through things like that. And then you start to see everything shift, like, oh, the clouds over here start to move towards the sun. The clouds over here move towards the sun. The clouds over here move towards the sun. And I'm like, every freaking thing will move towards the sun. I'm like, there's magnetic fields trying to attract and pull. And you can see those grill marks and indentations in the sky. It's like all energy is harnessed on that area to make this canopy of white crap block the sun, or to block the direct view of the sun every time.
You know what's wild about that too, is I was thinking about that, and we've noticed it a bunch where the morning sun or the night sun is blocked, like you were saying. And I'm like, okay, but that's for us from our unique point of view here in the town we live in. For them to actually like coordinate how to do that across the whole, everybody's different viewpoints, I guess it wouldn't be that hard. You just have to time it just right or something. I don't know.
Around here, I noticed that all of the chemtrails operate on most of them. They're changing flight patterns the more you start puncturing holes through their web. Like, if you've ever pay attention to the current flight patterns that go over your house and then go bust a bunch of towers, you're going to notice changes in those flight patterns.
Well, they start flying. We're directly in the path of, we're in a flight path. Direct line. Yeah. Like, the airplanes are landing and the airport is not far from our home. It's about 10 minutes away.
Oh, that's even better. So stuff like that, yeah, that's actually an even better reason to have a chembuster, because airports, there's more porting at an airport than an airplane. And look at airports as a negative, they're negative energy generators, because from the time you get in the building to the time you take off, you are herded like cattle to be as miserable as you possibly can, with the worst quality service, the worst food, CNN playing on the TV. Everything about it is negative. And then you get into subjects like Denver and whatever the hell is going on with airports like that. It's like there's something happening. And this goes back to that thing I mentioned about like underground bases and Don Croft and the earth pipe. But to reel it back to the sun issue, you can start popping holes in these things and you will quickly see how they try to like recalibrate. But the reason it's so easy to cover everything is because everyone thinks HARP is the network that is used, the frequency fence to do this. They think it's some facility in Alaska. They think it's You know, I was telling these folks last night about like Echelon. If you're ever interested and want to see something sinister, look up Echelon in the UK. It's like the communication center of Earth, where anything, including this conversation, will probably get filtered through as it goes through the interwebs. But it's not just the towers. It's not just these big weather balls, and it's not just the whatever battleships out in the ocean. It is the phone in the pocket. It's the smartwatch on the wrist. It's the Aura ring on the finger. It's the new Amazon Halo that, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's the thing that sits, oh my God, it was a nightmare commercial I saw that you no longer have to wear a wrist. You set this thing that looks like a little decor on your nightstand, and it actually reads, it's using EMF, it reads your breathing patterns, it tells when you fall asleep, it tells when you move. There's no sensory you have to wear. Why? Because the entire network system is working with it. Everyone's Wi-Fi, everyone's smart meter. It's part of this whole thing with busting towers. Could people look at me like, you know, what evidence is there that they want to create this web? It's like, look at the intention.
Internet of things.
The Internet of things. But look at how it's forced on people. I mean, does anyone here drive a Tesla?
No.
Well, no, but I was going to say, when you first brought up these issues, like the smart meter, mm-hmm. I worked in solar for over half of a decade, and when they forced everyone to go to a smart meter, and they were going away with analog readers, just what did you use? The guy comes out, he takes his note. No, now everything is, you have to use this. Mm-hmm. And when we were talking about this, I think this last summer, Jen brought up that at one point they couldn't change their thermostat. Colorado?
We could change our thermostat, but it kept going up or down on its own, and I deleted the whole schedule.
Yeah.
So it had nothing, but it would change its temperature on its own, but it wasn't changing it to save energy. It was changing it so that it cost us more money. Like, it was getting colder in the house than I wanted it to, which is the opposite of what is
promoted
right now in the Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and
we're saying they're going to shut it off, so it's going to be hot. But
that, yeah. I believe it was in Denver. It might have been in Colorado Springs, but in Colorado, they went through an energy crisis where, because everybody had to have smart meters, they just issued out a statement saying, "We're controlling all the smart meters during this shit. You won't be able to change it however long. Hopefully, much like the Ronas, it'll only last 2 weeks before we see a decline." And it was just an instant, "Sorry, guys, we know that you guys have smart meters. We control them, so we're going to do that. And you guys are just SOL until we decide that the energy crisis is over and you guys can go back to living the life you want."
Well, and that's the whole idea with the electric car thing, because that it limits your range. First of all, you can only go so far in those things, and you got to fucking post up and charge it. So it limits your range. So it kind of discourages people from long travel in these these electric cars. But they're also, especially Teslas, are connected to the Wi-Fi grid or the satellite, whatever you want to call it. They can shut them off. They have a kill switch in them. That's not even the conspiracy. Like,
I mean, for myself, I get emails once in a while, people bitching about it, but it's the truth, is that the Tesla cars are essentially a mini cell tower on wheels, and you're sitting inside of it. And it's, you know, if you look at the thermostats or the Ring doorbells, you know, they convince everyone's going to steal your packages from Shamazon no matter what. So you got to protect yourself, get the Ring doorbell. And then I was talking about this actually last night about, like, my parents had built a house not that long ago. And if you try to build a house right now and watch how much EMF your contractor will make damn sure you have inside your house. Everything is designed so that like I'm over here lecturing people and saying, you know, okay, at night you should turn off your Wi-Fi. Here's how you should hardwire your house. Here's how you can minimize the EMF exposure and, you know, use certain technologies in a safer way. They've made it so that you can't. And I hear that all the time now. They're like, well, I can't because my security system will go down. This will go down. I can't, won't be able to control this. The lights along the edge of my stairs. I'm 80 years old. I don't know what to do. You know, so it's like everything is designed. And then of course, LED lighting that just acts as an antenna to amplify all of this shit. You know, it's like LED wave spectrums will tap into the Wi-Fi network and run it directly into your wires. And then now you've got your house acting as an antenna for your Wi-Fi, and you're just sitting here inside of this soup. So it's like, you don't just look at what they're doing. You look at the intensity, the intention, and really the strategic level of, like, how hard are they pushing this? That is where you answer the question of, okay, this is why this is bad. It's like, this is why we need to do something about it, because they're doing this for some reason. And it's like, where I come in, it's all connected to consciousness in my book. It's all connected to really everything, the life force of this planet, and whether or not we will be a battery to something. And so this all just answers that question, or starts to answer that question, that they've gone to this level, this hard. It has to be, I mean, it has to have something to do with this web. You know, it's like the confirmation of, like, basically to keep going. It's just puzzle pieces that say, okay, you still don't know everything, but keep going. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And well, I wanted, oh, sorry. And I just want to say real quick, because people are going to be like, well, Jesus Christ, you were talking about solar flares. What happened? The reason I wanted to mention that is that in this course of everything that's happened, I have found a consistency when I am documenting the sky and doing my time lapse, that the days when they're, if you see them really going hard to cover the sun on certain days, try to tap into the wind. Pay attention to how much wind there is. Every time that stuff breaks apart and the sun comes out, you can feel these huge gusts of wind. And it's just like really, I mean, it feels great because it's like hot. I love when the sun is hot and it's blowing the wind. And I don't know exactly if you'd say solar flares or solar energy, but around here in Sedona, what I've noticed is that on those days where it's like super bright blue sky, the sun is intense, everything's jiving, the energy feels great, and it's like, this is a high vibe day, the internet goes out, my phone stops working, the transformers down the street blow up. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. Like, we're at the same time they are getting ready for whatever happens with the electrical grid, they're going to blame people and say it's terrorism. But it's really, I think there may be something natural going on that will, that isn't coherent basically with AI. It's not coherent with a lot of this parasitic technology that I would call it. And that's sort of, it's one of the puzzle pieces that, like, yes, I'm just like, we're just breaking apart shit in the sky. We're uncovering the sky. We know that when we do that, then this happens. We feel this heat. It's cold outside in the shade, but in the sun, it burns your skin. Okay. And then it's like, okay, well, on the days that the sun is the most intense, it's like, I basically come to this idea of the possibility. I think, what if the sun is really going to be a savior in some way, shape, or form that helps us against this AI agenda? That, you know, why? And then you kind of like connect it to, like, why does Bill Gates want to block out the sun? Why do they want to create those canopies and completely block the direct line of sight from the sun? Is it just because of sun gazing? I don't think it's just that. It's not just because of the solar rays. It's not just because of whatever, if there's DNA activation. I think there is a frequency that's coming from above that negatively impacts everything fake down here and benefits everything natural. And I think that could also explain why, when you change the genetic structure of plants and you have Monsanto or Monsatan, you have to create those genetically modified plants. They have to repatent year after year after year after year, because those, if they make a seed and they leave it as is, everything, I think Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park said it, life finds a way. Everything reverts back to nature. Everything reverts back to organics and heirlooms. And in the same way, I think human beings are slowly making our way back to whatever we were before we got fucked up. And so that dummy DNA that is not activated, that could be a component. The consciousness expansion could be a component. In the case of the plants and nature sort of restoring itself and the weather restoring itself, it's like all these things restoring themselves. I think there's something happening in this energetic battle that the, you know, I don't want to say the good is, there's something happening that's beneficial to us. And when it's beneficial to us, it is no me gusta to the AI, basically.
Yeah. And it does kind of go back to what you said at the beginning with the spiritual battle, if you want to call it that, with the natural being the good, the artificial being the bad, and they're in this fucking interlock, you know, battle, and somebody's going to win. But if you want to believe the movies, usually the good always wins. So there's a hopeful note for everybody.
I don't know. Terminator went on for like 30 years and they're still fighting it out.
Oh, fuck them.
Fair enough.
It's funny. Yeah. Everyone, my opinion about the Terminator, I'll just say everyone thinks it's going to be, you know, the robots or whatever. And it's like the mind control. It's the hive mind.
I was about to say, no, they're trying to make us the robots.
Exactly. They want the singularity. I've heard people using that word. I kind of like that version, which is why I don't like the new age, because I think the new age is essentially the same thing, but with crystals and extra steps. So it's like, you're still getting to the hive mind, or that's like unnatural. Cause I do think everyone is an individual. We're all our own spark. Like we are ourselves. It doesn't mean we won't coincide and get along with and resonate with others, but I do think we're all individual. So it's the only threat in this world, I swear. The only entity that is threatened in this world is the individual. It's the only victim in this place. So
yeah, and diversity is the enemy of freedom. We've learned that pretty recently. Oh,
diversity is my strength. It's everyone's strength.
I want to at least ask you off air, if not on this interview, how you recommend getting to the ground.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
So we can do that off.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap fine. Up. We got bedtimes and shit. But Mitch, tell everybody where they can find you and how to get a hold of you and all your shit.
So they can. Best thing is going to be my website. I got shut down. I did have to say. I meant to say. I got. I used to be on Etsy. I actually got shut down by the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. So for those people that are like, show me the receipts.
There it is.
Big connection. Well, so it's a roundabout way of censorship where I still exist. So it's like I do things to avoid algorithms. And so, but the reason for that is if you read Wilhelm Reich, there's a connection to nuclear energy. I think nuclear energy, my current ongoing experiments have to do with uranium and in very small amounts that are legal, but I just, you know, has to do with nuclear energy and orgone energy. I think that you can essentially create a battery of perpetual energy. Free, it's the idea of free energy. And that's what Wilhelm Reich, I think, was really onto, the idea of free energy or the secret of nuclear. And that's when he was disappeared or whatever. But anyway, I know the question was my website. So my website is the best place because the regulatory commission couldn't shut down that like they could Etsy. And so it's theorgonedonor.com, and that's O-R-G-O-N-E, orgonedonor.com. And then I'm also on Instagram. I have a pretty small following as long as I've been on there. And I do have a rule that I have to make sure people are human. If I can't verify that it's a human, because I used to deal with so many bots, so I have it on private. And if a person wants to get on, if they want to see my posts and all that, just shoot me a message real quick and just be like, hey, I'm say something, especially if you use humor. That's an even better way to know that you're human, because AI has no sense of humor. So
I love it. He's going to be the next Zed. And a year from now, we're going to hear how Men in Black showed up at his door. And now he's giving talks at DOD.
Signing NDAs.
No, it's people ask that question. It's a very popular question, is like, aren't you worried? And the answer, it would have been at one time, yes. But the thing is like, this sort of took off with a lot of people. Even though there's not a movement, there are a lot of people doing things and we're all comparing notes. I talk to a lot of people that are under the radar and a lot of people who really don't care. They're fine talking about it openly. But The thing I've learned is that I think one of the deceptions is also when you hear about certain things happening to certain people, that in and of itself is also a web of not that nothing happens to people ever, but I think like, imagine if you just seed the idea like, oh, every time someone did this, like they disappeared and died, or every time they did this, they disappeared and died. And it's like, that's, I don't think, there's just so much fear. Everything in this playground is so fear driven.
And I get where you're going with that.
Yeah. And the rule of the game is, we aren't going to do anything to you. You have to do it to yourself. So we're going to beat you up until you do all of, create your own misery, be your own worst enemy.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but your point in saying that is that's an intentional psyop to make people automatically know that if they go into this field, they might disappear. So it's another, what is it called? It's another thing that they put up to,
well, I mean, would it be like, are you thinking maybe like controlled opposition, that word?
I was thinking deterrent. So like
they, or put gatekeeper
things, or gatekeeping. That would be a good one. The idea that they put out these stories so that people think they disappeared because they did this. Mm-hmm. And now that's in their mind that if they do that, they might disappear. And so therefore they don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say nothing's always black and white. But I know that has to be a part of the plan, just in the same way that
always a little bit of truth and a good lie.
Exactly. I mean, there's no shortage. You know, look at what people are doing in the case of my work. It's like I'm all about the towers on the ground while a lot of other people are being directed towards what's happening in the sky.
Right.
And look at how easy that information, I mean, it doesn't take long to learn everything you need to know about the government poisoning people through the form of geoengineering activity. But then it's like, you still have to ask the question, why is this information so easily accessible? And this other batch of information is what gets swept under the rug or ignored. Because I know people with prominent, they're the poster, I won't say his name, people can read my website, I shit talk people, but there is a poster child for geoengineering around. And I know that when people have tried to share this type of information and that there's something you can do about it, or that it has to do with towers, he's basically called the police and tried to have them arrested from his events for simply trying to talk to anyone else at the event. And it's like, well, that raises a lot of questions. Or Oregon related people who I would call Rice scholars, who are receiving government funding, government grants, work with the military, don't believe that 5G is bad, don't believe in geoengineering, and, you know, just a whole can of worms, you know, that, so you have to ask those questions is what I'm getting at. And that is definitely one of those questions. It's not everybody, but definitely don't just believe, yeah, if they shut someone up, that's not always a sign. In fact, I think it's often not a sign that they are automatically like trustworthy and good. That's just, they're getting right. better at their game, basically.
Well, yeah. So. And there's, I mean, that's a different show, but we could go into, I mean, there's plants. I'm sure there's CIA, FBI plants in these communities too. So, I mean, yeah, like I said, that's a different show, but yeah, don't stop questioning, because you'll find something out tomorrow you didn't know today and then be like, oh shit, that's irrelevant now, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But Mitch, thank you so much for coming on. Oh my God, this is awesome.
Absolutely.
I will get this out pronto, and to everybody out there questioning things, stay weird, you fucking weird homosexuals.
You weird homosexuals.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.